Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Ransom Notes. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Catherine Ransom, our host each and every week. And she's also the author of Ransom Notes. Moments of reflection, courage, engagement, worship, and humor. Get the book, everyone. Wonderful book. It's a must get. And get on the mailing list. And again, we appreciate you tuning in. Binge listen to anything that you haven't heard from us. And Ransom Notes, once again. Catherine Ransom, how are you?
I'm just fine, Frank. This is exciting times as we begin to close in on moving after staying 42 plus years in our home. Friday, our house went on the market, and we've had 6 visitors already, and another one is scheduled. So we keep hoping that maybe there's someone else would like to fall in love with our house. Don't you think that's good news?
Yeah, well, that's great news. And I've been to your house. It is a I fell in love with your house. If I was looking for a house in Springfield, I would get that. I'd take your house over the Lincoln house, that's for sure. And and I love Lincoln's house because of the historic aspect, but yours is much nicer.
Don't you think you could commute daily between Springfield, Illinois and New York?
Why not? I'm a traveler, you know. That's one of my talents. That's one of my I wouldn't say it's a hidden talent, but it's one of my talents is traveling, and I'm traveling right now, and I think I travel as well as anyone else.
Well, I think we've talked about it before that I've traveled all my life. When I was very small, I was born in Portland, Oregon, and my dad worked for the federal government, and we moved every 2 to 4 weeks. And that's pretty, 4 to 6 weeks.
Wow.
That's traveling pretty often.
Oh,
and then
man.
when I got into adult life, a friend of mine and I have traveled all over the world and loved that. But as we've been getting ready to go moving, every now and then there is a funny story that comes out of this as we have looked in our trying to get rid of things. We have found some things we didn't know we had and some things that, long story short, yesterday we had a guest at our house. She was here helping us with a project. She is ready to leave. And as she's starting out of our office area, my friend says jokingly to her as she points to 2 large wooden ammo boxes. Now, I don't know if you know what ammo boxes are, but they're about 3 feet-ish and about 1 foot wide. That I bought way back in 1963 when I was working for a school textbook company, had a very tiny apartment, needed something in which to store extra textbooks. We have had those 2 ammo boxes forever. So my friend says jokingly to our guest, wouldn't you like to have 2 ammo boxes? And there was sudden silence. She looked more closely. Her eyes started to sparkle. And she said, let me see those. She said, my husband, I think, would love them. Now, to make the story even more interesting, she was here from Arkansas. She had come up to do some professional work and was here from Arkansas. And I said to her, I said, well, do you have room in your car to take these back to Arkansas? Oh, yes, yes, yes. She had a van. That wasn't a problem. So we unloaded quickly, and the first one was full of paint supplies, and we just put them on the basement floor where my office is. And the second one was full of Christmas things, and so we made a pile of Christmas goodies. We lugged them up the stairs, put them in her car. Today, I communicated with her because I decided I'd like to have a picture of them. And I said, and she said, of course, she would do. Guess what her husband's doing with these 2 ammo boxes?
What?
He is doing research about the writing that is on them. Now, I don't know anything about ammo boxes. I don't know whether these were ammos for machine guns, pistols, or water pistols.
Wow.
But so It's so fun. We had no reason for those to take them. And here is a stranger who comes along and says, oh, yes, I would like that. And it sort of reminds me that sometimes there's a person that you just sort of casually know, and then suddenly you realize that they have a real talent or a real use.
Yeah.
And I think about the time, you know, we've all gone through this virus and the shutdown and the isolation, and churches are no different. And our church decided that rather shortly, in a week or two, that they were going to go right online. We had really, nobody had done much virtual online programming. And the pastor found in our own congregation some help that got us online way back in March in about 1 week. Mm. Hidden talent.
Yeah.
And that's so great, you know. So we all need to get to know each other and find that hidden talent. I really watch for people to see what is it that they've got some skill that they don't even know they had. And there was this little couple in my class. They were really sweet. They were retired. I send out this ransom notes every week online, but I've got a few friends, 25 or so, who don't have computers or can't use them. I thought, you know, I have to write these addresses every week myself. This couple doesn't have a job right now in the church. I asked them, you'd have thought I had given them $100,000. They were so thrilled.
Wow.
To have a responsibility.
Yeah.
And Frank, I think we have to help people find ways to feel important or to feel needed or to feel part of. Because if you don't feel a part of something, you soon drop out.
You know, people want to help. People want to be useful. They want to be helpful. They want to, I certainly know I do. I like when somebody calls me, even if I'm busy. If somebody calls me and there's something I could help out with, I like it. I like to be helpful if I can. You know, there are some people who will find work for you. You know, like if you keep doing it, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about helping out when something is needed, something is truly needed, and you know that's a nice story, and that's a nice way to approach it. It's wonderful that you guys were up for virtual meetings for the church in March. I mean, March is when it all happened.
That's right. And I think the people that started to help doing that felt so, so valuable. I remember I've been teaching a Bible school class for years and years because I'm a teacher. That was my professional. Yeah. And oftentimes we would have a visitor. And I particularly remember a story that there was a couple came in, and this was their first week there, and we needed to suddenly move chairs because we had a full class and we needed to bring in some more chairs. And I went over to the guy and I said, is there any chance you could help the men move some chairs in? Now remember, this is the first time he's been in class.
Yeah.
And years later, I got a note that said, you don't know how much it meant to be asked to do something so quickly because we felt you cared about us. And I thought, oh my goodness, how wonderful, a simple little thing. I couldn't move the chairs. I didn't need to. I needed to be talking to people, and I needed some more help. You just have to keep the eyeballs open, I guess.
Wonderful. Just wonderful. Listen, you don't know what people are going to respond to. And do you know what happens is people feel part of something. They feel part of the crew. They can be helpful. The worst thing in the world you can do to somebody is be indifferent towards them. You know, like ignore that they're there. Ignore that that they could be, you know, part of something. Everybody wants to be part of something. You know, it's wonderful. It's, you know, and look... It makes it, when we join together, it makes us better community members. It makes us better Christians.
Well, yes, I think it does. And it's very easy to ignore someone who's new that you don't really know. And being a stranger, and believe me, I've moved many, many, many times in my younger life, and I was a total stranger. Having some way to fit in is probably the fastest way to keep people a part of, whether it's a church or a synagogue or an organization, is watch for that stranger that's standing against the wall and that needs a friendly, "Hi, I'm Catherine. Do you have a name?" is one of the best ways I've found to make a connection quickly with a stranger. But, you know, Frank, I got a story about a $20 bill.
Ah.
The other day, I found in some old notes as we went, going through all of this stuff to get ready to move. And I found a note from 1999. Now, that is 21 years ago. And I was reading it, and I thought, oh, that's a good story about a $20 bill. I think we'll share that. And it has obviously some lessons, or I wouldn't have saved it.
Sure.
But this speaker was getting ready, was starting his seminar. And he reached into his pocket and brought out a $20 bill and held it up to the audience. And he said, "Raise your hand if you'd like to have this $20 bill." Well, you know, everybody raised it. You know, he says, "I'm going to give it to one person." And then he said, "But wait just a minute." And he took the $20 bill and he crumpled it all up. You know how you can take a piece of paper and you crumple it all up. And he raised it up and he said, "Well, this bill is now all crumpled. How many would like to have this $20 bill?" Every hand went back up again, because who cares? You know, who cares if it's brand new or crumpled? And he said, "Oh, well, wait, just one more minute." And he threw it down on the ground and he ran his foot over it and scraped it along on the floor of the building and held it up. So now this crumpled bill has dirt on it, and, you know, and it's really sort of a grubby 20.
Yeah.
And he repeats his question, "How many of you would like to have this 20? Hands up all over the room. And he said, "I now want to share a lesson with you. Sometimes we as people who started out perfect in life do things that crumple our life, or we soil it because of something we said or did or thought, or were mean, or forgot to ask forgiveness about." And he said, "You know, the Lord forgives you if you ask, even when you've made really a crumpled, dirty mess of your life." Isn't that an interesting story?
What a beautiful lesson. What a great lesson. I didn't even think it was going there. Just amazing.
Well, you never know where I'm going to take something.
No. Yeah, that's it. Roller coaster.
Along with it, he shared a verse from Psalm 21, verse 8. And he said that God will continue to keep us, and then the quote part, as the apple of his eye. And then I would add, even if we have some rotten spots in us, he still keeps us under his wing.
Wow. So, oh, I love that.
Well, it's a good one for you to share with somebody. If you ever need just a quickie little lesson, you know, somebody says, "Come up, stand up quick, and we need a little devotion," well, you can put that in the back of your head and use it. But did you know what day, special day yesterday was?
I know, but only because you mentioned something and I thought about it. Am I going to spoil it if I say?
No, no.
Whale Day, National Whale Day, or International Whale Day.
Yeah, I had never heard about the World Whale Day. I'd never heard about it until I was looking at the Sierra Club news note, and it came on the internet yesterday, and it said today is, and I read the headlines, today is World Whale Day. Well, the Sierra Club, you know, loves to acquire money to help take care of our wildlife. And so they focused on the whale yesterday. And they had four interesting facts. Some days I'm into facts.
Yeah.
Four different facts about whales. And you know I'll end up with some kind of a connection, but that's
no
the first thing. I know. Well, and there's lessons. First of all, there's the gray whale. And believe me, I've seen some whales in the water. I don't know what kind they were. Probably they were humpbacks, but
yeah.
I know that they spit a lot of water in the air. Anyway, the gray whale, it travels. It has been known to travel. You want to make a guess of how far you think a whale could travel.
I kind of know this. I think they literally can go around the world. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know how far around the world is, but according to the Sierra Club, they have been known to travel 22,500 kilometers, and I translated that into not quite 14,000 miles.
Wow.
Now, you know, that's a long swim.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Wow.
Which is sort of interesting, and then I'll tie that in a minute. So they have to be great swimmers, and I use the word tenacity because I think they might get just a little bit tired swimming all that distance. So then there's number two whale, and they're called the fin whale, F-I-N. They are the fastest of the whales that we know of. Do you know, since you seem to know a little bit about whales, about how fast they can go?
No way. I wouldn't even gander a guess. I would not.
I don't think you could go this fast on your bicycle, and you're not even in water. 28 and a half miles per hour.
Wow.
That's pretty speedy.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
When you think they've got the waves against them, even the smaller of the whales are not tiny. To move that much weight, the whales weigh more than Tubby Ransom here, and I know I cannot move at 28 and a half miles per hour in a swimming pool.
No,
so,
me neither.
But then I wasn't built with fins and tail and so forth. So, number two, we can think about whales having quickness to them. All right, number three, the kind of whale that I've heard of, the humpback. And it has lasted, they were sort of disappearing. And at one time, they had gotten to be not too many humpbacks in the whole world. And that's why Sierra Club was trying to preserve them. They now have over 80,000. Now, how they count all these 80,000, they have to have ways that I don't know, because I doubt that they have anyone going around and taking a census of them. You know, they hire a couple of humpbacks to take their notebook and go around and snoop. But the nice part about it, in a serious way, that in the last couple of years, that the number has grown by a number of 10,000, which is, if it went from 70,000 to 80,000, they're making progress. And so in the connection I want to make shortly, they're starting to reach out, and these whales are starting to witness to each other and I suppose have sex, and the producing other little whales.
Right.
Well. Then there's the fourth kind, and that's called a bowhead. And they have the longest lifespan, and I want their lifespan.
Wow. How long is that lifespan?
Roughly 150 to 200 years.
Wow.
Now, for someone who's 85, I think it would be sort of nice if I could keep well to live 150 years. Just think, you and I could be on the radio for 150 years.
Oh, that'd
be great. We could do quite a few programs.
Yeah. You know, that's wonderful. I heard the head of Brooklyn Medical Center, which is Brooklyn Hospital, Brooklyn Hospital. I heard them say back in somewhere around 2000 that if you can live to the year 2032, you're going to see people live to 150 years old.
You're kidding.
Side note, yeah. But 2032 is the magic number he gave. I don't know why so randomly, but
that's only 21 years from now. I would be.
No, 2032
only
is
only 21, 106, I don't.
It's 11 years. It's 11 years from now.
Hey, you know what? I could make that. I could do that.
You
I
can
do that.
Easily.
That's a goal.
Standing
that's
on your head, you can do that.
you know, as we sort of learn to talk more informally with each other, as we've done several of these interviews and conversations, it's fun to just sort of think out of the top of your head and enjoy life. And I'm convinced that if we want to live to be 102 or 105 or whatever, we just have to keep having fun with people and caring and studying and learning and growing. And that's one reason I encourage people to read. And maybe that's why I wrote a book, Cole Ransom Notes. Who knows?
You were meant to write that book. There's no question about it. And you're meant to write other books. That's wonderful. You're very good with words. You always have a word. You have fun with words. You usually have a word of a day. Do you have a word of a day?
Oh yes, I do have. It's two words. It really sums down in one. Church bells. You know, years ago, church bells had to be rung by hand, and you see pictures of them up in those steeples, and then you see people pulling on that rope, pulling and pulling. And apparently those bells are pretty heavy. I think I got to ring one once, but I don't really remember how heavy it was. I think we were in England or somewhere.
Quasimodo, right? Quasimodo rang the bell like that?
Yeah, that's right. Well, this study of the word origin, they said that originally people had to develop the muscles to ring those bells. You couldn't practice like at a gym ringing the bell because the bell meant something. It might mean a certain number that there was a fire or the service was to begin or, you know, whatever. So they had to build up their muscles doing something. So they would tie big hunks of metal weights to ropes and hang the ropes up. And then they would pull these metal pieces to build up the arms and their muscles. And this was called a dumbbell.
Oh.
The rope with the metal was a dumbbell because it was silent. We use silent for your dumb.
Whoa.
Not meaning lack of knowledge, but
right.
Lack of sound.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I had ever heard that history of that word. I have used dumbbell. What do you mean? What are you doing, dumbbell? And I hope I do it with a slight smile.
Sure.
But
wow.
Isn't that sort of an interesting
word?
Yeah,
now, you're not kidding.
Now, every time you use that word, you're going to think of those poor people pulling those pieces of metal up and down, up and down, up and down.
That's incredible. I never, you know, there's an origin to everything. I mean, but that is wonderful. A dumbbell. So it's not a... It's not a negative term. We've turned it into a negative term.
Yes,
but it originally
right.
wasn't. It was a noble thing. People ringing church bells, practicing, preparing. That's great. Wow, dumbbells. That's where it came from.
Well,
wow. Now, what else is on your mind? What else is on that very fertile mind of yours?
Well, I just return to the whales for just a
yeah.
moment. You know, I need to make a religious connection to it.
Of course.
And I think almost the whole world, at least most people in the U.S., have heard of Jonah. And we know that he ran away from the Lord and was swallowed by a large fish. Sometimes it's translated to be a whale. Sometimes it's translated to be a sea serpent. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's K-E-T-O-S, ketos. Maybe you probably
yeah.
better.
That's how I've always heard it, ketos.
And when you think about Jonah had to reside, and people sometimes make fun of that and said that's impossible, that you could live inside of a large fish for 3 days. And they really do know that some of these large fish, both the sea serpent and the whale, some of them have throats that are large enough that a person could be swallowed, and they have a large enough interior that in which they could last for a while. I can't imagine being locked up inside of a fish for 3 days, but I'm guessing that you'd really start thinking fast.
Yeah.
About, oh no, I bet I shouldn't have run away from God.
Yeah.
And so, but then I was thinking, if that fish, the quail, had traveled the 14,000 miles, but then really far away from where he was supposed to do his preaching for the Lord. And if that whale was going, if it was a fin whale, and that whale was going at 28 miles an hour, I think he might have gotten seasick in there. Because I can remember when we traveled in the car, I got car sick, so why couldn't you be whale sick?
Yeah. I imagine the smell alone would kill you. It's all fish.
Yes. Oh, my glory, yes. But then you think that whale, the number of whales have grown from 70,000 to 80,000 in the last couple of years or so. When Jonah got out of the whale, that was what one of his jobs was to preach to the people and have them turn back to God in the Old Testament days. And even Jesus mentions Jonah in Matthew and talks about him. And whether it was a large fish, whether it was a whale or a serpent, sea serpent, we know that probably the Hebrew word was one and the same. The principle is still the same, that Jonah had to spend some time thinking about some negative things that he had done. And God prepared a pretty decent little closet to stuff him in.
Yeah.
Wow. And so that's my big thought for the week.
World Whale Day turns into that.
Yeah, I know.
That is wonderful.
I'm not going to have a whale for a pet, though.
No. We'll leave them exactly where they belong, out there multiplying.
That's true. I will continue to enjoy the white pelicans in our lake behind our house. They're back again.
They've been there for a long time. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and whether they're the same ones, because, you know, we've talked about the fact that they don't wear name badges.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know if they're the same white pelicans. But we've had, yesterday, Sunday, we had 4 eagles in our tree. And that's all.
Are they bald eagles or are they different kind of eagles?
Yes, the ones with the white heads.
Wow.
2 of them were adult with the white heads and 2 were juveniles. And they do not have the white head. They're big and shaped the same way as their parents. But it's been fun. We've seen them now twice in the last couple of days. And that's real good news. We enjoy seeing the eagles.
Listen, you have a beautiful place. Enjoy it while you can. You've enjoyed it for 40 years. And you're going to have all of those memories, and you're going to have new memories over at the new place.
Well, it's always nice to talk to your audience, Frank. We appreciate you giving us that opportunity to do it. And I know we get just a little silly at times, but I think people need a little bit of humor, and they have to put up with my dry sense of humor.
You got a great sense of humor. Don't change it ever. Just wonderful sense of humor.
I just want people to be drawn closer to God and remember that He's in charge of our world, even during this time of virus. And I'm so pleased to know that so many people are beginning to get their shots. And I would encourage anybody, if you care about yourself and your family and the world, get your shot, get your vaccines so that you can help somebody else.
There is light at the end of the tunnel, Catherine. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and God is good.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me thank you for the wisdom. Just wonderful, as always. But I want to really thank the people listening. I know they have a lot of options, but you've been listening to Ransom Notes. And the book is Ransom Notes by Catherine Ransom. Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. She is wonderful, as you can tell. And Catherine, I'll talk to you next week, and we'll talk to everyone else next week.
Sounds like fun. Have a good week.
Frank McKay signing off for Catherine Ransom. and Ransom Notes. We'll see you next time on Ransom Notes.